The bell. 1 Kings chapter. This lady was bad news. 16. I mean, bad to the core. 1 Kings 16. Evil personified, if anyone ever was. Starting in verse 29 of 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings 16, 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. I mean, you talk about a rep, this guy had the wrong one. I mean, others messed up, others led the people into paganism before King Ahab, but he pushed it right to the limit. This man corrupted the nation, the northern kingdom, more than anyone else had done. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing, that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Jeroboam was one who 10 tribes away to keep it. A tribute to him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, he had the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, we looked before at the methodology that Balaam had recommended to Balak, you remember, which is, of course, get people involved with the pagan women and get them to get related to each other so that eventually they will be pulled into pagan worship. Solomon, we read by King Solomon that this happened to him. He married all these wives, and all these pagan wives wanted him to build a temple to their god, and he went and participated. His heart was taken away from God as a result of the distraction and the kind of influence of these unbelieving wives. And so it is that King Ahab was not only distracted, this man was moved to the depths of depravity as a result of his marriage to Jezebel. He went and served Baal and worshipped him. Not only that, verse 32 says, then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And then he went further and made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings who were before him. Turn with me now to 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. We're getting close to the end of Jezebel when we get there. Couldn't come any too soon. 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings 9. This is where Jehu comes into the picture, and he is going to be the one used, of course, to finally bring judgment to Jezebel. There was a confrontation between Jehu and the one who was then the king of Israel, Joram, the son of Ahab. And Joram, verse 21 of chapter 9 of 2 Kings 9, 21. Then Joram said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. Then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu, who was, of course, the one that was going to be the next king in Israel. They met him on the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which, of course, is one of the places that Jezebel had caused this man Naboth to be unfairly accused so that she could claim that property for Ahab. So that was just a scene of the crime, as it were. Verse 22, now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? So he answered, what peace, verse 22, what peace as long as the harlot trees of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many? The harlot trees and the witchcraft. Isn't it interesting that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it seems like it's always hand in hand. It's always worship of foreign false gods, worship of idols on the one hand, and immorality on the other hand. And the answer, of course, is that you will tend to live up to or live down to what you worship. And if you are serving the Lord God, you know his standards and you know what he expects. And there is an expectation that we will live up to those standards. If, on the other hand, you serve a God who is a corrupt being and who leads others into corruption as a method of gaining devotees, and that's what the ancient pagan religions did, was to have people participate in these ceremonies so they could put a hook into them in order to bring them into their group and into their pagan worship. And they used immoral behavior as a systematic method of recruitment. And that's the issue. How do you hook a person? You get to their basic emotions. and through the use of temple prostitution, through the use of this kind of systematically encouraged immoral behavior, they were able to get through to the emotions of people, and they were able to hook them and get them into a worship of pagan religion. That's why they always go together. Read Romans 1 and Romans 2, and you'll see that it talks about the fact that when people rejected the knowledge of God that they had and pushed down the light that they had, that what happened was that then God had to give them over to their own desires, because as they held down the truth in their unrighteousness, so it is that their unrighteousness became worse and worse and worse in terms of the kinds of evil that were involved. Yes. Right.
It's almost identical, right? On one side, they're following a guy who's telling them to go into, you know, eating food sacrificed to idols and stuff, whatever else.
It's the same group.
It's not a car, it's a group.
Right. Yes, he is. It is held that what we have here in Thyatira is a case of one of the Nicolaitan leaders. That Jezebel, as she was called, whether that was her actual name or whether that was an epithet that was used in order to, you know, kind of tell you just what kind of a woman she was, be that as it may, she was viewed as a leader of the Nicolaitans in Thyatira, who carried out the same kind of corrupting practices and teaching as the folks that we've already read about in Pergamos. Same group. Bad dudes.
Ah.
Yeah, I think the main burden here is not that this was a lady. The main burden here is the kind of lady that she was. Just as in the main issue in Pergamos was not that the guy who was leading this was a guy, but the kind of guy and the kind of message and influence that he had. This was a lady who called herself a prophetess. That is, she set up herself as being a spokesperson for God. This, she was not called by God. Jesus is speaking here. Don't forget, in these letters, Jesus is speaking. And so he says, she calls herself a prophetess. I didn't commission her. I didn't send her. And what is she doing? She's both teaching and practicing. She's teaching them that it's okay to go along with the world, to participate in these dinners that the trade guilds held in order to get a job. It's okay to be part of the society and bow down, even if you don't mean it, to the image of Caesar. It's okay to go along and to participate in the immoral practices that attend pagan worship. And not only did she teach it, but she practiced it. And she practiced it, and this is why this is such a bad mess. She practiced it inside the church. Within the bounds of the church. Now, this is not the only place we read of this kind of thing occurring. You can read it in the book of Jude, for example, and there are other places in 2 Peter where this is talked about, where there were people within the church who were, in effect, systematically trying to cause people to go in the wrong direction. And this was a lady who was a bad dudette, who was leading people in the wrong direction, not only by her teaching, but by her practice. And so we better stop here because it is getting to the end or near the end. We haven't finished Thyatira, but at least you understand that when the Lord calls it, He calls it straight. He tells the truth. And then, of course, we're going to see next time that He calls upon them, in this case, this woman and others who were her followers, her children, to repent. And He gives us rope. That's one of the things we're going to see next time, is that He doesn't just zap us immediately, but He often gives us lots and lots of rope. We're going to talk about that next time. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are dismayed to recognize that there are so many things in ourselves that are displeasing to You. We know that Your eyes of fire penetrate to our heart and to our souls, and You know who we are, and You know the things that are both pleasing and displeasing to You, and we want to be pleasing to You. We pray, Father, that we will be found to be. We love You, we want to serve You, we want to please You, and we ask Your forgiveness when we do not do that. We pray, Father, that instead we will be those who will set an example, that there will be those who we will be those who will show others what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ through our behavior as well as through our teaching. We pray that we will be those, therefore, who will be not a stumbling block, but those who will be those who can lift up others in their faith. We pray as we finish our study of Thyatira, as we recognize the seriousness of this situation and that it was tolerated right within the confines of the church. We recognize that there is corruption and evil even within our own midst, in our own hearts, and in our own lives. And we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will do His work, which is always so patient, of reaching out to us, convicting us of our sins, showing us your will through your word and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so that we will turn and repent and move off in a new direction. We know that's His purpose in this situation, just as that is His purpose in our own personal lives. For this we give you thanksgiving, for your love and your patience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God.